Hey, everybody, I'm Carl.
And I'm Tanya.
And we are from the When It Was Cool Podcast Network, where we are celebrating Halloween all month long in the month of October. Halloween is one of our favorite holidays. Wouldn't you say that's true, Tanya?
Halloween is the greatest time of year for me.
It is a wonderful time, and we have lots of fun here on the When It Was Cool Podcast Network celebrating it. So, many of the regular shows you hear this month, like Dragon King Dark and the When It Was Cool podcast, we've replaced those with some horror and monster movie reviews, and your regular series will return in the month of November. So throughout October, we hope you will join us here as we review some classic horror and monster-related movies. So, Tanya, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
So let's do it.
How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the When It Was Cool Podcasting Network. This is October, where we celebrate Halloween all month long. I am Carl here with me, my wife and one half of whenitwascool.com, Tanya. Hello.
Hello.
So we've, between you and I, we've kind of picked out some of our, I don't know, favorite or interesting or classic horror and monster movies to review during the month of October. And this is one of your picks, A Nightmare on Elm Street, the classic movie from 1984. Before we get into talking about this movie, what's the memories you've got of it? How did you first see this movie? Were you scared of it? How did it work?
This is the this is the first movie that I have a scary memory of. Like, this is the first scary movie that I even, or horror movie that I even have a memory of, and of being frightened by it. I can remember standing in the hallway, like, not wanting to watch, but watching, as Freddy was walking down, like, this one hall thing and screeching his nails on there. And I can remember this movie just being scary to me. And a lot of it was the little eerie music that played in the background throughout the movie, and the little girls always got to me.
The jump little, roping girls.
Yes, with that the, sang the little
one, tune, two, yeah whatever.
Little, yeah. Yeah, that was, and so, and the girl, after the girl, the first girl died, Tina, mm-hmm. she would show back up to Nancy and Nancy's dreams, and she'd been in that body bag, and that always freaked me out.
Oh, yeah. So, Nancy Thompson is our lead hero character. She is the, I guess, the protagonist of this, played by Heather Langenkamp. And you had mentioned to me, well, I wonder if she ever did anything else.
She was in the Wes Craven's New Nightmare. I know she was in that one. I don't know how many of the Nightmare on Elm Streets she was in after the first one, but I do know she came into that Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Yeah, I think she showed back up in like number 3 or number 4, but I looked up her career, and it's basically been spent doing movies like this. Like, she's kind of one of those, what they call scream queens. She, you know, got her break in this.
But probably none of them as big as this one was.
Oh, I'm sure, because this is, I mean, this launched a whole film franchise. It's, you know, very fondly remembered, I'd say. I mean, I think most people consider this a classic horror film, right?
Well, on something I read, it said it was one of the top, the most, one of the top horror films of all time. I think had this movie been released today, though, it would be one of those B-type movies. You know, yeah. Those B, what are they called?
Yeah, right. I agree.
Those kind of cheesy horror movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I mean, I don't know, though. Maybe not. But because remembering it, I mean, just I mean, even watching it the other night, it's been a long time since I've watched it. Freddie's makeup and stuff wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't cheesy.
It was good. And I mean, there was some cheesy parts, you know, in it, but.
Well, again, it was 1984.
Right. But.
And I think the world's different now. Movies are made different now. I don't know that a film could, you know, have the impact that this one had back then, you know, nowadays. Of course, Freddy Krueger, very famously played by Robert Englund, who kind of got typecast in the role of Freddy. And this is an early appearance by Johnny Depp.
Now, this was his first movie.
Really?
Yeah, I read that. You mentioned, I'm on one of our shows, I think you mentioned that I have that little blog over there. I'm ahead of you. I've already blogged a couple of horror movies that I've watched over there, because, and this was one of them. But yeah, so I had posted some stuff on there, and it said, yes, this was his Johnny Depp's debut.
Fantastic. Cool. Of course, you can access your blog by the front page of whenitwascool.com. I've got a link to it there. I didn't know that. The first time I remember, because I saw this movie, but I guess it didn't register when I was, you know, in high school or whatever. Well, I was like in middle school, I guess, in 1984. I the first time I really remember Johnny Depp was in from 21 Jump Street on Fox, the crime drama TV show. But he had already been in Nightmare on Elm Street before this. And I saw this movie, and, you know, I liked it. Everybody, of course, in school that's my age, they look upon this as one of the classics. For some reason, I was more into the Friday the 13th series. Like, to me, Jason was my, I guess, monster of choice from that time period and that era. Although going back, and we've watched several of these lately. We review a Friday the 13th movie every Friday the 13th. And to me, really, I think The Nightmare on Elm Street kind of holds up better than some of those.
Well, I liked the Friday the 13th movies okay, but like Jason was never my scary monster person. It was Freddy and, of course, the Leatherface.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, let's be honest, it's the scariest of them all.
Oh yeah.
By far.
I mean the old film.
Yeah, the original, sure. So, yeah, this has got some. Okay, Tina, you mentioned Tina. That was played by Amanda Weiss. I don't keep up with actors and actresses. I don't know who half these people are.
I don't think I wouldn't know that she's been in anything else either.
Yeah, so the father was John Saxon, and now I do know him because he was in Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee. He was one of the main guys on it, the lieutenant from the police department, father of Nancy Thompson. So this film, and look, we're going to presume everybody has seen A Nightmare on Elm Street. You don't need a scene-by-scene rundown of every single little thing that happened here, but it's basically, you're going to have to help me with the story here. It's basically this. The nightmares of these teenagers are being inhabited or visited by Freddy Krueger. They don't know it's a guy named Freddy Krueger at the first. They just know that their nightmares are crossing over into reality. They could be really hurt, really killed, really stalked, like from their dreams. And I guess it's Nancy, right, who is like, she is the one that kind of figures out, hey, there's something going on here. Didn't she like grab his hat or something? There was some physical evidence.
Yeah, she brings his hat back over.
Yeah. So, of course, she's trying to convince all of her friends and her father and all this that, hey, this is a real thing that's happening. And, of course, nobody believes her. Until they figure out, I guess the parents figure out, the mom who figured out first that who Freddy Krueger was, that it was actually this child predator from
the child murderer that had killed like 20 something children or something in back when she was young.
Yeah, and they actually found this person and killed them. Burned them up. And so we presume sometime in death.
So he's coming back to take his revenge on the children of the parents that burned him and killed him.
Now, there's going to be many more Nightmare on Elm Streets, and maybe some. Have you seen all of them?
Yes, I have seen every single one of them. It's been a while. I started watching part two the other night, but I didn't get far. I stopped.
Okay, so we may visit some of those, but and maybe this is, you know, maybe this is mentioned somewhere in the canon of A Nightmare on Elm Street. I presume it has one, but that I guess when Freddy, like Freddy, really died and really became somehow supernaturally powered to, in to.
They refer to him on there right there as a vengeful ghost.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess, okay.
Nancy realizes that Krueger, now a vengeful ghost, is killing her and her friends out of revenge and to satiate his psychopathic needs.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess, and I see right here, and I guess I missed this in the original. He killed 20 children but was released on a technicality. That seems very unlikely, but
right, and then burned. So he was burned by the victims' parents that lived on the street.
Yeah,
on that street wherever he lived.
Now, Nancy's mom was it his knife she had hidden in the?
She had his glove.
What happened to that? Do we know what actually happened to that little totem she had of it? Did Freddy recapture his? Like real knives or something?
How was he cutting them in their dreams when his knives were down there in her furnace?
I'm presuming he made some more. I don't know because, you know, you don't think about any of this stuff too hard.
I mean, because like when part one, Nightmare on Elm Street is coming on, it's showing him making those knives. That's what's happening. That's what's going on. It's showing him make that glove.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember that.
But the mom has, Nancy's alcoholic mother has his glove in a fireplace type deal thing in their basement. And she pulls it out and she says, "See, Nancy, he can't hurt you no more. He's dead. We killed him."
Yeah. So, as it turns out, that's in fact not true because he ends up, okay, so basically there's this.
Her mom gets on my nerves.
Her mom does get on my nerves too. So, correct me if I start going off course here. So, Freddy kills Johnny Depp, and Nancy is still not convinced anybody that he's real, that Freddy Krueger's real, coming through to the real world by way of their dreams. Her dad and the other policeman are across the street where Johnny Depp's character, Glenn, lives. He's dead. He's been, just horribly mutilated in a giant, pool of blood.
Oh, he was sucked into his bed and spit back out.
Yeah, basically. In a very famous scene. Yeah, yeah. and apparently had a lot more blood in his body than most humans have because it just kept coming out forever.
It must have been all of Freddy's people's blood come back out.
So Nancy has come up with a very Home Alone way of capturing Freddy Krueger.
She does it very quickly.
Yeah, she does.
Has to.
Yes. In 20 minutes time, she's like, "I'm going to set an alarm for 20 minutes." So we know that Freddy kills Johnny Depp about midnight because they establish that as the time. She sets it for 20 minutes after midnight. And in the meantime, she sets up all these kinds of Home Alone style traps with a giant sledgehammer and a exploding light bulb made out of shotgun shells and all this trip wires. Yes, she's got that.
She
just
does
hanging around
all
my house.
This from down in her basement all the way to upstairs.
Yes,
in record time.
And then falls asleep and lures Freddy into this trap and gets awakened and summons the police from across the yard all within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So seems unlikely again. But anyway. She does. Okay, so now here's the part I kind of didn't understand. How do they get Freddy? Does she
kill
Freddy?
You didn't pay attention.
Okay. No, I'm confused by the ending.
I think you have paid attention to this movie.
Well, no.
But I know this movie.
No,
by
I did.
Heart.
I've seen this movie many times, but it's confusing. So how did she kill Freddy? She sets him on fire, right? Again.
Okay. Yes, but he is set on fire, mm-hmm. and when her dad finally comes and busts down the door from the wrong side, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the door's backwards.
You noticed that. Right. You're like, you couldn't kick that door from that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. I have some experience with that.
Okay, but,
yeah.
But anyway, so he gets in, and they realize, oh, my God, Freddy's not downstairs anymore. But there are fiery footsteps going upstairs to Marge's room.
That's
and
right.
So okay. They go in. They bust in there in Marge's room, the mother of Nancy. And here's Freddy laying on top of her.
That's right.
And
yes.
He fades away. This is the cheesiest part of the movie. It brought back a Poltergeist flashback to me. Like it just lights up, and then they sink into her bed to be no more. Like, and the bed's
That's
made
right.
up. There ain't no spot on the bed. Nothing. It's like it never happened. But he comes back out of the bed when Nancy starts out of the room by herself. After everybody has already gone, Nancy turns around. Well, here comes Freddy. As a supernatural thing, you know, and he's like, lunges at her with his big claw, and she's, you can't, I'm not scared of you, you can't, and anyway, basically, he had to die because it was their fear of him that was keeping him coming back to their dreams, and so she showed, like, she stood up to
him. Yeah, I remember the public service announcement about fear. Basically, it was like, my fear is what was keeping you alive, and I'm not scared of you no more. And he's like,
And so she's like, I want my mother back. I want my friends back. I want my life back. And I'm not scared of you. I'm not afraid of you. You can't do this. So it all comes back in the end.
Okay, so that's...
She walks out to a bright, sunshiny day.
Yeah, it was foggy,
as
remember?
If,
yeah.
As if nothing ever happened.
Yeah, it was somehow foggy and sunshine.
Mom was sober and like everything.
Yeah, and the kids, all the dead kids could pull it up in the car. And okay, so...
So who had fear?
Did it? No, but here's my question. Did it not, did all that not happen? Because for some reason, there's like 10 or 12 more of these movies.
Right.
And so, they get locked in the car right at the end.
Yes. The convertible, the car is a convertible, and the top is let back. And when Nancy gets into the car with the other three, well, the top goes back up, and it's the color of his sweater. It's striped.
That's right.
And she gets locked in the car, and she's like patting around trying to get out of the car, and then it zooms off, okay? And then, you know, then the mom is sucked through the window of the front porch.
That's right, yes.
Okay, so somebody had fear, and it brought Freddy back.
Okay, apparently. Yeah, okay. That actually, I guess, is a better explanation than what... Because I was trying to get at... Was the whole movie a dream, and the end part... got real, or was the end part a dream?
I don't know. You're way overthinking it. You ain't supposed to think that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess you're right. So at the end, okay.
Since you asked that though, and it made me think about it like that too, I'm going to answer like this. I feel like Nancy lied. She was really scared of him still. She was just trying, you know, she just put on a brave face. I'm like, you're not real. But then that day, she's like, oh my God, what if he comes? And there he was.
Oh yeah. Don't. Forget that the three girls are jump roping there at the end, too, with the little chant.
Yeah.
Again, too.
That was probably, like, the scariest part of the whole movie.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I feel like we're examining this like it's the ending to No Country for Old Men or something. But, like, it's really weird how it ends. It's like, you know, it was a very cheap,
okay,
cheesy
ending.
Okay,
but you got to think about it like this, too. Dreams can be really weird.
You're
such
right.
As the other night you dreamt that I had a pet centipede.
Yes.
Which I would never
have. Yes, it was a
that I was petting it, and I named it, and I probably had a sweater on it. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a it was a giant pet centipede. And then the other night you're like, there was that thing I had like is on TV right now, and I look, you're watching like whatever that dragon show
is.
The
House of Dragons.
Yeah. And one of them had a pet centipede, and I'm like, yes, as a matter of fact, like I saw the future or something. I'm like,
yeah, I'm
yes,
like, is that it? Is that what I had in your dream?
Well, as a matter of fact, that is Todd right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Todd it's like it's got 16 eyes, but I don't think they can see.
Yeah, no doubt. No, like what? Like that's
We're,
what
well, okay, we've gotten off track. But
or have we? Because this movie is a brain
but,
trip too.
But that's what I'm saying. So see, dreams are awkward, and anything can happen in dreams. Weird stuff, and it don't make sense. It don't go together. So that's probably why this happened that way.
Is there any sort, and I'm asking because I don't know, I've saw many of these movies, I'm not about to say I've seen every single one because I'm sure that's not true. Obviously, I haven't paid, you know, like super close attention, like studied them, like, is this... But is there any sort of continuity between these movies? Are they, like, linked together where, you know, if I'm watching part two, when I sit down with you watch part two, am I like, okay, well, this is continuing the story of Freddy, or is it just a total, complete...
No, they are linked together by the house, for one thing, because that old house and the girls jump roping and stuff keeps coming up in everybody's dream. And as the movie goes on, that house is just older and more decrepit and abandoned looking with the windows boarded up and different stuff. So, and Elm Street, they're connected.
Okay, that's a great answer. That's cool. And I suppose it's obvious that...
And I know they mentioned...
Freddy can't die, I guess. Like, you know, fear, I guess, is always going to bring him back.
I guess so. I know that they do mention in one of them. They kind of run together. I've seen all of them, but, like, I'd have to just really sit here and think about which part was which one. But there's one where... they mention they do talk about Nancy, the kids, the like the present day kids that are now being killed by Freddy in their dreams. They're talking about Nancy and how she ended up in the crazy house or the, you know, psych ward or whatever.
Oh no, so Nancy's story doesn't end real well.
Huh?
Nancy's story ends badly or something?
Well, see, earlier on in the, like, part two or three or somewhere around in there, she is in, like, an insane asylum or, you know, she's, like, in a place, a hospital. And they go and talk to her. But later on, when they do that Wes Craven's New Nightmare, she has a life. She has a home. She has a job. She has a child. And it's her little boy that's very young, like not even five, 6 years old, mm-hmm. That's actually having nightmares, I think, or problems in that movie. We'll have to watch some of them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Interesting, because her little boy, the child that plays her son in Wes Craven New Nightmare is the little boy that's killed on Pet Sematary by the truck.
Okay, all right. Okay, so Nightmare on Elm Street was 1984, and that's the one we're talking about here. 1985, so the next year, another family,
it's Freddy's Revenge,
yes, is living in Nancy Thompson's house, the Walshes. Mm-hmm. So that's Freddy's Revenge. Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is Dream Warriors, and that come out 2 years later, 1987. Man, they're turning these out like quickly. Mm-hmm. Is systematically killing the last of the Elm Street children. So I guess there again is that. Nightmare on Elm Street 4 is 1988, The Dream Master.
I think that's the one with the girl who's very shy at first, and she won't look in her mirror. Like, her mirror is covered with pictures of her friends and such, and then she's like a fighter or something. She fights him.
Okay.
Yeah, Alice. Yeah, right. That's that one.
Right, so, a Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child, says picks up shortly after the events of The Dream Master. Freddy is using Alice's unborn child, Jacob, to resurrect himself and find new victims.
Yeah, I think that's when it gets stupid.
Okay, yeah. It's, by the time you get to the 5 and 6 in any film series, they're reaching. 1991, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, follows the exploits of John Doe, an amnesiac teenager from Springwood, who is sent out to find Freddy's daughter, Maggie. Does that sound anything? Freddy's got a daughter now, I guess.
Man, oh man, I don't remember that.
So, Wes Craven returned to the Nightmare series with New Nightmare in 1994.
See, I actually liked the New Nightmare one, the Wes Craven one. I can remember liking it.
Okay.
But then you have the Friday the 13th, the Freddy and Jason.
I liked that movie.
I didn't really care for that.
Really, I did. I liked that one.
I mean, it was okay, I guess. So now that I remember the fight scene at the end, yeah, I guess it was all right. But then, because I couldn't ever remember, we're gonna have to watch that one.
Yeah, we are.
Instead of talking about it here.
Yeah, we may have to watch that one this month.
But now, okay, and now I thought this one in 2010, which was a remake of the original.
Uh huh.
I thought it was gonna be good, but it didn't turn out to be really good.
I really like when I've never seen that one, I don't guess. But watching this one from 84, I don't really see what they could do with it to make it, like,
it's
any
just,
better.
I mean, it's new people, and it's kind of more updated, like more present day, I think.
Sometimes, yeah, most of the time it doesn't really work.
Because I think it's the one where it starts out at the diner. I think that's the one I actually started watching the other night because I turned on the wrong one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, some things that just don't translate from the 80s to today. Remember that terrible remake of Footloose they did? like some stuff worked in the 80s, and it's just not going to work in the 2000s. So, that could be a horror movie in and of itself.
Sometimes I don't want to watch remakes. There's something they're remaking, and I thought, oh, no. Oh, and it's The Lost Boys.
No, yes. Say it ain't so. Who's playing sexy saxophone man in this one?
I don't know. We were just talking about this movie today, but yes, I'm pretty sure there is a Lost Boys remake, and I don't think I want to see it.
I sort of do.
What was that meme I sent you? And it says something like nobody ever says that. What this movie needs is this
sexy saxophone man. Yes,
like, he was so out of place.
Yes, it was.
Like, I mean, they spent too much camera time on him. Like, way
Yes, I mean, just totally jarringly out of place. I mean, look, it's no more in place in that movie than if in the middle of A Nightmare on Elm Street.
He would have been on the side of the sidewalk.
Yeah, just playing the...
You just busting it out.
Yeah, exactly, right. Just made no sense. It's like literally.
I mean, he probably would have fit more in the Elm Street movie because of Dreamin', you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. You're exactly right. Yeah. Literally, that dude must have been somebody's friend that was involved in directing that movie. And they said, we got to find a part for Tony, the sexy saxophone man. And they're like, yeah.
In his genie suit.
We'll put him in our vampire movie. That's what we'll do. Yeah, so I think you and I have reviewed Lost Boys before.
But I can't get over it. That's so funny.
That's in our archives there at whenitwascool.com. So we'll have more sexy sax man conversation there, I'm
what
sure.
What do you call? What are those called? The gifs? What's the right one? Okay, yeah. I hope there's one of that man somewhere.
There's got to be. You know there's got to be. And this no way that's escaped from Memeville, you know. Without question.
There's got to be one. I have to look that up.
So what did you think?
Another thing I might mention is another thing that was very creepy to me is the boiler room. Like, you know, because every time that Freddie would go through that, you know, or be in that setting in there, that was creepy to me. And this is fixing to go over into something else, and I blogged about it the other day, but we had went to a haunted attraction of this place that we have here in Birmingham, Alabama, called Sloss Furnace. And every time I would see the Nightmare on Elm Street, that's what I would think about. Well, I mean, you know, this Sloss Furnace.
Right.
And so when they actually started doing those haunted attractions there, I was glad that we could get to go to that because that was like the closest you could go in there. I always wanted to like break in and like, you know, because it was abandoned, I wanted to break in and explore. But so you had to go to the haunted house, and so you didn't get to see everything. But that's what that reminds me
you're
of.
Right. And that crossed over to popular culture, where the boiler room became like a staple of like horror movies and stuff like that. Because you're right, the atmosphere there, it's dangerous, seeming, it's creepy. You got all the noise and steam and stuff. Did you have that old steam system in your old school? Because the elementary school I went to had those radiators like that was heated from a boiler room. And
I don't remember. Maybe at Littleville.
Yeah. Made those noises and stuff. Yeah, I can totally see how in the night, oh my gosh, that would be like chill-inducing stuff. What did you think about Johnny Depp from this movie? Did you think he did well? Could you see future superstar in him? Or what was your thoughts?
I didn't really have any thoughts on him for real back then. I never would have ever expected he would have gone on to play every single thing you could be in a movie,
right,
and be as such a superstar as that he had become. But I do think looking at this movie and then knowing what his son looks like now, his son is a spitting image.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No joke. I have no idea what his son looks like, but
like that.
Yeah.
the way he looked in 21 Jump Street and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right. You know, I never would have thought that either. Like, when he was on 21 Jump Street, he was a standout on there. I mean, I was like, yeah, this guy's going to go places for sure. And, Leonardo DiCaprio, in some of his early stuff, you could kind of tell, like, this guy's going to be something big. But I didn't really get that vibe of Glenn Lance here in the, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, oh, man, this, you know, all these cheesy actors here.
But with Leonardo DiCaprio, I can remember him back in the days of, what was the show with Kirk Cameron?
Silver Spoons?
No.
Not
Family Ties. Silver Spoons.
Not Family Matters. Goodness gracious, what is
you
that?
You won't think of it.
No, I'll never think
everybody
of it.
Everybody else out there is
knowing screaming it.
But anyway, Leonardo DiCaprio was their poor neighbor
child.
Or maybe he was even homeless. I don't remember. But I always thought back then that he would be, he would grow up to be something. And he did.
Yeah, I remember him. Like, what was, What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yes.
Yeah, he was, pretty. And wasn't Johnny Depp was in that too, right?
Yeah, they were.
So they're both in it, yeah. But it was clear he was, you know, he had something in him there for sure. I'm going to spend the rest of the night.
We've got to get back to Freddie.
All right, so Freddie, what else you got to say here about the original 1984 A Nightmare on Elm Street? Because, I mean, it obviously made you a fan, and many other people.
Because it was 1.1 million cost, and then it brung in, like, 51 million?
57 million. 57. Hey, that was pretty good off the top of your head there, because I was like, wow, you you knew it brought in, the budget was $1.1 million. Yeah, it made a huge amount of money for what was spent on it. New Line Cinemas was released November 9th, 1984, so... fall of 1984, and I'm trying to remember. I mean, I'm sure this thing was a big hit when it came out, because I remember hearing all about it. People were talking about it at school, and you got to go to the theater and see Nightmare on Elm Street. It's crazy. People seemed like they really focused in on Freddy Krueger. Like, that was like Jason. It became like our modern era version of the monsters. Like,
I always thought it was creepy how they made him be kill you in your dreams and you died in real life. You know, I thought that was creepy. Yeah. Now, not so much. I don't know. And you ask what finally killed Freddy off. I'll tell you, it was meth, because people don't sleep on that.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably right.
So Freddy's dead for real now, y'all.
Yeah, because there's no dreams to inhabit, because nobody's sleeping anymore. Yeah.
They're like, whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
Yeah.
No worries. I got you right here.
They're drinking coffee and stuff. Literally, did they know. Amphetamines would be the answer to that, that little puzzle. So, yeah, I mean, just like back in the 1930s and 1940s, Dracula, Frankenstein, you know, the werewolf, the creature, all these become arch-topple monsters for the movies and for popular culture and stuff. And back here in the 80s, I mean, they hatched a few of the 70s and 80s. You had Leatherface and Freddy Krueger and Jason, and that kind of become that era's monster.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, okay, just like today, we were in Spirit Halloween. And what do you still have there? You have all the old Halloween stuff. All the old horror stuff that we had growing up. You know, they had a section of all like Freddy stuff.
Yep.
They had
Friday 13th.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't really see any Leatherface stuff. Did you? Yeah, we had that.
Did it?
Yeah, that one little. They didn't. They didn't have a whole bunch of like shirts and things like they had with Freddy Krueger and stuff. They had a lot in his little section and a lot of Friday the 13th, but they did have that little Leatherface bobblehead.
Yeah, that's right.
And a couple more.
And
I saw some T-shirts.
Yeah, I saw T-shirts. Yeah, yeah, for that. But there's a lot. I think.
But see, that stuff has lived on, and that's cool because you know, like, then even the youth of today still
know who Freddy Krueger is.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. And I thought those, to me, one of the gimmicks that really stuck out was those knived fingers. I mean, that's just the thing everybody remembers. I mean, that was a inventive, really cool weapon. Like, young boys would think, oh, man, that's just the most awesome thing, you know, I've ever seen, these bladed fingers. And they had replicas of those in Spirit Halloween.
We have one in there. My son does. But I wish somebody could make, like, a real one of it and really, like, sharpen them and stuff.
Yeah, that would be dangerous. But, hey, it was really...
Well, we could do butter knives.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was really inventive. I mean, it was really a pretty ingenious little deal. I guess the image of the burnt man is you know, frequent in literature and in films and stuff, that that, you know, disfigured person who's been burned up. There's you know, that's been used over and over and over again. And in this situation, you've got this person who is, you know, terribly disfigured with this fire, who's now seeking vengeance. And he's got this, here's another thing that I think works good, just like with Jason, he's got this iconic look. He's wearing the same shirt, he's wearing the gloves, wearing the hat, he's got the disfigured face, and you just know, you know when you see him.
Okay, tell me, let me ask you a question, because this is the, is the dress blue or gold or whatever that thing? Is the sweater black and red, or is the sweater green and red? Because in the movie, looking at it in the movie, I always thought it was black and red. When you see it reproduced now, like in the store down there, or you know, anywhere, it's green.
Really?
Yes, and they say it's green.
Oh, I wish you hadn't asked me this.
And they say it's green.
I would have said
green and green and red stripe. And just as that replica one I picked up tonight in the store.
Because I would have said black and red. That's
it's
what I
was. Green and red.
So we're going to go. If only we had a device.
And I think the show is Family Matters.
Yes, you're right. Family Matters. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. All right. So, all right, we got a device. We can ask this Google machine here. Look, that's black and red.
Oh, it's not. It's green. They say it's
okay,
green.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's
in the
images.
Movie, she says it's a green. It's his dirty old green. Look right there.
Okay. Yeah, I guess maybe it's black to me. I don't know.
Look right there.
Okay, all right. That's definitely green.
Yes, they say it's green. They say his sweater is green. Look right there.
So
I always thought black too, but
gosh, that's black.
But I swear, when they say the creepy man in the green and the green and red sweater, his dirty old green and red sweater, and I'm like, green and red. I always thought it was black.
I guess because it's in shadows and it's kind of, you know,
it's got smud
on
it or whatever.
Yeah. Because like some of these, it's clearly black and red. Like,
so
is
he supposed to be wearing a Christmas sweater? Is that what this is?
I wondered. This movie came out in November. When's it set?
I don't know.
Like, did they ever reference any? Well, they're in school, so yeah. Some of these look. Hey, some of these pictures are black and red, and some of them are green and red. That's just it. So somewhere in between black and red and green and red. But that's great. I never thought about that before. I was certain, positive it was black and red. Well, what about that? All right, so anything else you want to say about A Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984, New Line Cinema's supernatural slasher film?
Now, looking at that one picture of his glove, it looks kind of steampunkish, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of, I think, well, I mean, with the whole boiler room and all that stuff, I can see certainly some influence of that there. Was met with rave critical reviews and is considered one of the greatest horror films ever made, spawning a franchise consisting of 6 sequels, a television. You remember the television series?
I do not.
I remember it. I don't think I ever watched any of it.
I think I may have tried to start it but couldn't get interested in it and stopped.
Very, very interesting.
What does that say? And even, what? And something that was even nicknamed the house that Freddie built, what?
Yeah, let's see here. New Line Cinemas was nicknamed the house that Freddie built. They were mostly funded from that. The film is credited with using many of the tropes found in the low-budget horror films of the 70s and 80s that originated with John Carpenter's Halloween in 1978. So, there are a lot of tropes in this, to be sure, but hey, it worked. It absolutely worked.
What's this down? Okay, so is Freddy's theme song?
Freddy's theme song. The lyrics Freddy's theme song, sung by the Jump Rope Children throughout the series, and based on 1, 2, Buckle My Shoe.
Okay.
was already written and included in the script when, I guess it's being Leonard Bernstein, started writing the soundtrack. While the melody for it was not set by Bernstein, but by Heather Langenkamp's boyfriend and soon-to-be husband at the time, Alan Pasqua, who was a musician himself. Bernstein integrated Pasqua's contribution into the soundtrack as he seemed fit. One of the three girls who recorded the vocal part of the theme was Robert Shea's then 14-year-old daughter. Per the script, the lyrics are as follow. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better lock your door.
No, stop you right there.
Okay.
Why? That's what I wrote in my blog. Why? Because he comes to you in your dream. Why lock your door?
Yeah, you're right. 5, 6, grab your crucifix.
Which we know doesn't help either Nancy had that. I mean, Tina had that above
That's
her
right.
Bed.
So far, this is terrible advice. 7, 8, going to stay up late. 9, 10, never sleep again. That seems like the only thing that might actually work in this whole tune.
Yes, if it were possible.
If it were possible.
But one of these days, you know, you're just going to give out, and then you're going to be, it's over with.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
I'm glad that really don't happen.
How do you know?
I mean, I like my sleep.
Are you certain?
I've never dreamt of Freddy. Have you?
No, I never
did the Rotten Tomatoes say about it?
Let's see here. Point it to me. I can't see it. Where is Rotten Tomatoes? Okay. The film has a 95% approval rating. That's pretty impressive there. On Rotten Tomatoes with an average rating of 7.8 out of 10. And the site's consensus says Wes Craven's intelligent premise combined with the horrifying visual appearance of Freddy Krueger still causes nightmares to this day.
Is Wes Craven alive?
No, Wes Craven died like a couple years ago. Yeah, it wasn't all that long ago.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember now seeing something a few years ago that said thanks for the nightmares or something.
Yeah, I think it wasn't all that long ago. Maybe I don't know, 2 or 3. Let's just see here. As we have 2015. He died in 2015. He was 76 years old when he died. Yeah, he was, I like a lot of his stuff. He had several things. He was behind the Swamp Thing movie and obviously, I guess, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Vampire
his most
in
famous
Brooklyn.
Thing.
Shocker. I liked that movie, actually.
Shocker was good. So, yeah, one of the great horror director minds of our time, to be sure. Well, a lot of fun was this. We may hit another.
We're going to have to do some more of the Nightmare on Elm Street, I think.
For sure. Absolutely. And an all-time classic. I'm surprised we hadn't previously reviewed this over at whenitwascool.com, but we have now. And thank you very much for listening to this. If you're listening to it at the time it dropped, this is standing in place of our weekly When It Was Cool Dark podcast, where I've been talking about 100 of the darkest moments in pop culture history, and we'll pick that series back up in November. So if that sounds interesting to you, I invite you to come over to whenitwascool.com and check out the entire series on the When It Was Cool Dark podcast page. Tanya, as you've mentioned, your blog is running quite well. You're posting quite a bit of stuff.
Well, I mean, I didn't do... It's kind of something I'm just doing for myself, you know? I mean... It's there.
Good.
I mean, it's there. You know, if people want to look at it, but it's just something for me to do.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job with it. I think it looks real good. And if you'd like to check it out, go to the front page of whenitwascool.com, and you'll see Tanya's little icon there pointing you to her blog, and you can check that out along with all of our other stuff. And all throughout the month of October, and this show, if you're listening to it, out of the archives, was recorded in October of 2022, and every year in October we celebrate Halloween all month long, and this month we've got tons and tons of great monster and horror related stuff. So Tanya, thank you very much for joining us here, and
alrighty,
we'll see some great stuff coming up, and we will see all of you again here soon. Check us out at whenitwascool.com.
WhenItWasCool.com is your source for the best in retro pop culture. When It Was Cool features articles and podcasts on retro TV and movies, toys, action figures, pro wrestling, food, video games, and more. Hit the Patreon button to support us and get instant access to hundreds of premium podcasts and features. Family-friendly and fun. WhenItWasCool.com. WhenItWasCool.com is your source for the best in retro pop culture. When It Was Cool features articles and podcasts on retro TV and movies, toys, action figures, pro wrestling, food, video games, and more. Hit the Patreon button to support us and get instant access to hundreds of premium podcasts and features. Family-friendly and fun. WhenItWasCool.com.